want to introduce you to Paul Simon, and not the musician. Paul is an attorney who has formed a company called Business Mediation Services. And he takes business professionals like you, usually close to retirement, and he trains you in the art of mediation. And then he puts those folks out to help solve problems in the business community versus going to a lawsuit or going to arbitration. And those of you who have been involved in either one of those knows it takes a lot of time and energy. Now, I don't exactly know why we put the lawyer on right behind ABL. Pardon me, Paul. But he's gonna talk us through some of the ideas that he has around how we could use mediation in place of lawsuits and or arbitration, and how we could come to some conclusions at a very low-cost way of handling disputes and getting past some of the things that take place with our customers and or suppliers that really don't belong in a lawsuit or a court, but really belong in a conversation and in a what I would call cooling down phase of discussing how to solve your problem. So with that, Paul.
Thank you. Thanks, Rich. Thank you very much, Rich, and the board of directors of F4SS and Lisa and her team for inviting me here today. Find the clicker, see if I can make it work. My name is Paul Simon. We are live streaming this, so I would like everybody to turn around, take a look at Rachel in the back, and wave. All right, just say hi to everybody online. All right, we're all here. That's terrific. All right. Yes, I am the reason for the selfie contest on Down the Rabbit Hole, and I have a location, if you haven't been there yet, on where you might take a few selfies to qualify. Pick up your clickers, though. Vote for what size city you're coming from. And for those online, I'd just like you to type in the name of your city and what the temperature is right now. Because here in San Diego, all of us know that it's 64 degrees and sunny. We ate lunch on a pool deck. It was fabulous. Eat your heart out. Okay, let's see what the polling is still there. We'll see how we do. And I'm going to come back to why it is that I want to know the size of your markets or the size of your cities where you're from and later in the program. But we'll let this finish until the polling is closed, and then we'll move right on. There we go. So we have 30% that are in the big cities, and we have 23% that are in the smaller towns. All right, so I'll come back to that and tell you why that's relevant later. Executive summary, 2 points. Don't let lawsuits stunt your growth. We've been hearing a lot of great ideas, and the theme of this conference is enabling growth. You get into a lawsuit, you're going to see that growth ebb away in a way that you don't like. And the second point is mediation can help you resolve business disputes. 2 points, keep them in mind. Q&A, jump in anytime. On our website, I have a presentation page for this presentation. Go to our website and our resource page. And I have a few links of articles that I think you might like. A short survey is there as well if you'd like to complete it. Okay, so you've got a business problem. It could be a customer, it could be a supplier. Probably, from what I've heard so far, you folks do a great job of managing your strategic relationships. But it could be an employment problem, it could be a partnership problem, it could be a lot of different problems. Maybe the widgets didn't get delivered on time. Whatever it is, your direct negotiations are at an impasse, what do you do? Well, there's three basic forums, that, as I like to put it, to resolve business disputes. You can litigate it, that's the full-fledged court filing, discovery, motions, adversarial hearing, and a third-party decision, a judge or a jury. You can arbitrate it, which is basically a private trial. You hire an arbitrator to make a decision for you. Or you can mediate. Now, mediation, if you have not been involved in it, is a private facilitated conversation, as Rich pointed out. You sit down with a conference. It's much more businesslike. You have a conference with a mediator, and you reach a voluntary resolution or you don't. So of those three potential forums, since it's Oscar week, the clear winner is over 8 million new business-related cases filed in this country every year. And it's interesting on how I get there. I'll just take a quick second. 61% of all cases filed are contract cases. Now, contract includes a variety of things that you can see on the screen that are related to business activity. It also includes mortgage foreclosures. So I took out the 3 million plus mortgage foreclosures that have occurred in this country over the last few years, and you get to roughly between 8 and 9 million new business-related cases. Take a look at the 6%. That's the number of tort or personal injury cases that are filed. So next time you hear that the personal injury cases are clogging our court system, they're not, at least not the filing. They may hang in the system and get tried more, but they are not the ones that are really clogging up the system initially. That's business-related cases, frankly, by a factor of 10. So another audience response question. With all these business lawsuits, I want you to vote for your favorite movie lawyer. Joe Pesci, My Cousin Vinny, Harrison Ford, Presumed Innocent, Gregory Peck, To Kill a Mockingbird, Tom Cruise, A Few Good Men, and Matthew McConaughey, A Time to Kill. And for the folks online, just type it in, and we'll have Joy read out a few if they do come in for us, and we'll see. I thought about actually having you name your favorite trial witness, all right, who won? Yeah, it was pretty close. Joe Pesci. the Utes. What's a Ute? All right. Second place was Tom Cruise. Excellent. Matthew McConaughey's right up there. And Gregory Peck, of course, everybody's hero. When movie fantasy meets reality, though, what you realize is all five of those leading men actors who played those great trial lawyers dealt with criminal cases. When you're dealing with someone's life, the victim's rights, et cetera, it's a very, very compelling story. Let me tell you, when a judge or a jury is trying to sort out a business problem that relates to what should be the damages accorded for the failure to deliver the widgets on time, not so sexy. Business cases last an average of about 3 years, and in the major cities where many of our people here are from, 5 to 6. In Chicago, it's close to 6 years to get a business case through to trial. The next stat, though, is, I think, really remarkable. Only about 1% of business cases go to trial. It's actually, in some studies, it's significantly less than 1%, because this factor is the federal civil trials. That includes civil rights. It includes a lot of other things other than business-related cases. When I see 1%, I see a decisional failure on the part of the litigation system. The litigation system is not a business dispute resolution forum, and people need to stop thinking of it that way. It's a way that people default to, but it's not the way that you should really go about doing your business. One report estimates that over $200 billion a year is spent in litigation. That's not just fees now. That's all in. But the Fortune 500 companies, according to one study, spend over a third of their net annual profit in the litigation system. And it dwarfs traditional advertising as an industry. Traditional advertising being every piece of advertising other than internet advertising. That's a $150 million business. You can see how big the litigation business is. And you can understand, given the amount of money that flows through that industry, how the vested interests are pretty embedded in making sure that it continues to function. I like to call this a litigation tax. Nobody in this room would do a deal if the transactional costs of that deal were 60%. Now, I can't find good statistics on business cases, so I took the tort personal injury claims. 60% of the amount of money paid out by businesses in tort and personal injury claims goes to legal fees costs. The other 40% goes to the injured party. I suspect that business transactional costs are considerably less. But even if they're only 40%, who would buy a house if you had to pay 40% to the real estate broker? You probably wouldn't do it. 50 to 90% of all litigation costs are used for discovery. And when you produce documents, I think conservative, 1,000 pages of documents produced result in one page of trial exhibit. It's not a very efficient system. And the rule of compliance is a big drag on a business operation. All right, so I want you to take a look at a litigation model that I've created to show you how uncontrolled, indirect, slow, and costly the litigation system is. If you take a business that has a customer, employee, partner, and there's a dispute, right now the first thing that happens is those businesses and business people go to their lawyers. The lawyers then bring a lawsuit. And that's the way most people in the business world look at the litigation system, right there on your screens. They don't think beyond that. They say, go to their lawyers, here's my problem, fix it, tell me when you're done. Well, anybody who's been in it knows that that's not the way it works, because what soon happens is that the litigation system takes over and pushes back first on the lawyers and then on the parties. And they push back in a variety of ways because you're now in a process. Litigation is a very process-driven driven event. You have pretrial motions, a lot of which have nothing to do with the underlying issues. You have depositions. For those of you who have given a deposition, you raise your hand, you swear to tell the truth, and then you try not to recall anything. You have document production, which I mentioned, and the latest and greatest addition to the litigation torture chamber is electronic discovery. Now, electronic discovery is pretty much everything that Stephen talked about in terms of hackers. Well, this is legal, where everybody gets into your computer records. And if you look at the statistics on emails alone, they say that most people in the business world have about 100 emails in and out on a day. Some of you, I'm sure, have quite a bit more than that. If you're in a contract dispute with that widget supplier and you have to go back over 3 years and produce all your emails relating to that, when all the attachments, and every time somebody is copied on it, or they say they reply and say yes, or they hit reply all, every single thing is a separate sheet of paper, it's a separate document. By the time you end up producing that, you've spent thousands and thousands of dollars in electronic discovery before you even produce it. So it's really obnoxious. As we talked about, 3+ years, settlement or dismissals at 99%, trial at 1%. Now, if you're bound and determined to get a decision, you probably can hang in the system and try and get one. But what happens? Well, you risk loss. One lawyer told me once that he considered him pretty good, and he won about half his cases, and he thought he was a pretty good trial lawyer. You have appeals. About 20% of all civil cases end up in an appeal. So is it over yet? It's not over yet. You go to appeal. And I might add that on appeal, for $1 million-plus verdicts, almost half get modified or reversed on appeal, statistically. There's collection efforts. There's a website out there now where that claims they're trying to create a marketplace for unpaid judgments. You can actually go into the website and invest in unpaid judgments. They claim, I can't substantiate this, but they claim that 80% of contract cases are not result in judgments that are not collected. So 80% of judgments are not collected in those types of cases, to say it better. And you have damaged relationships, obviously. Whatever business relationship existed at the top of that chart is long gone. I've heard a lot over the last couple days about how you folks have created some terrific, you know, relationship management tools. Well, litigation is managing a relationship with a hand grenade. That's something to keep in mind. The process of litigation is extremely disruptive to a business. Anybody who's been in there knows that. You have the right to remain, it's really not a right, it's an obligation to remain silent, which basically takes you, the business people, out of the mix and puts the lawyers in the mix in terms of communicating with the other side, which is a real problem when you're talking about trying to communicate your business interests and trying to resolve it. You have to keep people employed who may not otherwise remain employed. The standard for discovery, by the way, is if something might lead to relevant evidence. And imagine how broad that is. And then, once again, trying to protect customer or client relationships. I mean, believe me, when you're in litigation, there's a sort of a pain-gain meter, and don't think for a second that the other lawyer won't try and find something that causes you pain. So a subpoena to a customer of yours to get records is pretty much fair game. Okay, so here's your selfie opportunity. I think that business litigation is unreal for the reality of the business world. And as Lewis Carroll said, you'd have to be half mad to dream me up. So anybody who'd like to go with me afterwards and find the courthouse, we can do some selfies down the rabbit hole. A quick look at traditional arbitration. Arbitration generally is better, but it can be worse than litigation, and I'll tell you why in a second. It looks a lot like litigation if you model it like I have. You have an adversarial process. You have a third-party decision maker. The real key here and what really determines whether or not it's a more efficient way or a less efficient way is what the is whether the other party accepts the decision. If they don't, you have to go to court to enforce it. Or if you think the arbitrator went off the reservation, you have to go to court to try and vacate it. So you end up with this situation where you can go through arbitration and then have to go to court. And so it basically can be, and you lose some of the rights that you otherwise would have if you went to court initially. So I'm not saying arbitration is not a good thing. It can be a very good thing, but it has to be something that's well thought out ahead of time. And you can see from the lower right there, you also have damaged relationships. Whenever you have a third party making a decision, that's going to happen. So take a second and just answer this question. Just pick one. If you were going to set a goal of what would be the most important outcome to you in resolving a business dispute, of these five, which would you check? So think about that. And the folks online, if you just type it in, what is the most important outcome in resolving a business dispute? All right, we're almost there. There we go. So, the two winners, finding a mutual benefit, preserving relationships. Look at how low winning is. That is really incredible. And you know what? It bears out with a survey that was done by the Better Business Bureau in Western Michigan. I know we've got a lot of Michigan folks here. But we collaborated with the BBB in Western Michigan, and they put out a study to several thousand of their members. They had over 500 responses, so I think it's statistically significant. They let people choose, they let people rank these in their study. The top two here, preserving relationships and finding mutual benefit, were chosen by two-thirds of the respondents as the most important two elements. Those folks chose winning as sort of a distant third. In this, I'm not at all surprised you chose it as a far distant alternative, simply because winning, if you think about it, has resulted in a damaged relationship. Something led to that dispute. So let's talk about the mediation model, because this is the model that will get you to those goals. Same problem. The widgets didn't come on time, the business party and the customer, the employee, the partner, whoever it may be. There's the dispute. You consult with your lawyers, hence the dotted line. Mediation does not require you to have a lawyer, although I think most sophisticated business parties would have a lawyer at present. But the mediation really is set by the parties. our service, as well as many services, have standard rules, but there's no rules we write that can't be varied by with agreement by the parties. We're not a process-driven medium. Up to 85% of disputes submitted to mediation settle. It's incredible, isn't it? Sometimes it's people report a little bit lower than that. So I've seen it as low as two-thirds. But anywhere from two-thirds to 80 to 90% of problems that are submitted to mediation actually get resolved at the mediation. The remaining, you can probably streamline whatever litigation or arbitration has to follow. Amazingly, it only takes a matter of weeks to get these things scheduled, and the conference itself, one or two days. I haven't seen one where we didn't know in one day whether or not there was a path to settlement. It's really remarkable. It's a remarkable process. Let me tell you why I think it works. A lot of people will say, why not just directly negotiate? Why use a facilitator? Well, I think the answer is that by law in virtually every state, mediation is the conference itself and mediation communications, both between the parties and with the mediator, are confidential. They cannot be used in later litigation. It's the get smart cone of silence that comes down. And you'd be surprised how much an I'm sorry can be impactful in these mediations. Somebody actually says, you know, I fouled up, I'm sorry. You know, that makes a lot of it go away. It's focused. You don't get somebody asking for 5 years of financial statements when you really don't need that. It's productive. I've sat at a lot of settlement meetings where the wrong people were on the other side of the table. So you have to have somebody with authority there. But primarily, I think it's the mediator. I think the mediator is the only person who is running one of these forums who has the ability to privately meet with each party. A judge can't do it, an arbitrator can't do it. You have to meet with each party. I'm going to pause for a question. What is the success rate of arbitration versus mediation? I'd love to know the answer to that. I can tell you that that statistically arbitration ends up with, I think about 20% of arbitration awards get appealed to court, roughly. But I can't tell you whether, I think most of the arbitration awards then, 80%, probably are actually accepted. But don't know what that is. I don't know how I get that off now. Oh, there I am, sorry. Okay. So I talked about the private caucus. There's no adversarial posturing in a mediation. Once you have a mediator there, you have a you basically take out the positioning that goes on when you're adversarial. You have an emotional filter. If you have very emotional parties, you're basically the mediator helps emotional parties calm down, and the mediator is a communications bridge, which allows people to both vent and to kind of communicate with each other. I mediated a dispute between a group of partners where one partner was on the odds with several of his other partners. Prior to the mediation, the lawyer for the single partner told me, my client refuses to be in the same room with his partners, will not be in the same room with them. And I thought, well, this will be a challenge, but come on in, let's see how we do. I spent 9 hours basically in shuttle diplomacy between conference rooms. We found a pathway forward without litigation. It did resolve itself, and the parties walked out together. So I'm not saying I'm a hero, but it does work. Okay, it's really important to plan to talk while you're still talking. And what we mean by that is put a dispute resolution clause in your contracts. I've not heard of a reason not to have a mediation clause in a contract. Just put it in. We have a simple mediation first clause, or mediate first clause, we call it, on our website. It's two sentences. Basically, it says, unless there's a legal requirement to do otherwise, we'll do one mediation conference before anybody files a lawsuit. And what that does is it basically allows you to choose the forum. If you don't choose it, you lose control. the most difficult party will choose the forum. The party, the partner who refused to be in the same room with his other partners, he would have killed that mediation before it got going and would have forced litigation, except for the partnership agreement wisely included a clause that required mediation before litigation, and it avoided the whole litigation. The worst case is you're going to get some information. And what I tell people is, in a mediation, what you're going to get is you're going to get a chance to eyeball a decision maker and determine what the commitment and resources of the other party are. You can't believe the number of lawsuits I've seen that are filed or defended based upon a misperception of what the other side is capable of doing or how long they want to hang in. And finally, I would say that you need to choose the right mediator. Choose somebody who understands your business. Choose someone with personal attributes that engender respect, someone who is friendly, trustworthy, empathetic, patient. A lot of mediation that's done now is done as an adjunct to litigation. It's done in later stages of litigation trying to avoid a trial. Because remember, judges and juries, they're thinking about a few good men. They're not thinking about partnership disputes and valuing assets or inventories. So what you need to do is you need to find someone who is non-judgmental. And oftentimes the retired judges or the senior trial lawyers who mediate later stage disputes are basically trying to predict the outcome if you go to trial. They are not deal makers, they're outcome predictors. So that's it. And I love to entertain any questions.
I'm afraid we don't have time for questions.
Okay,
thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you.